here. I'm just talking about the Savior. I'm just thinking of how people talked about him, how he's from Galilee, from Nazareth. Can anything good come? And I just feel unworthy to sit here. I think, can there really be anything good in here that I can do to help bring him in for y'all? And I don't feel like anything, but there's anything good. But I just want to thank my Savior for dying for me, for this. If there was something in here that he could see worth saving. And I'm so thankful. Just bear with me, I'm sorry.
I love him. prayer God wants us for right now. You know, I'm glad to have found out in my Christian walk with God that I'm not a finished product by any stretch of the imagination. But I am still where God wants me now. You know, as long as I walk, what's the word that I want to use here? Circumspectly, I think is the word. Did I pronounce it right? If I can walk circumspectly, that means that if I'll do what I can do for God as much as I possibly can within my power to do it, I'm just in His sight. Hallelujah. Thank God. I've got some revelations in my heart. I know that there's something for the people of God. And I'm one of them. So that means He's got something for me. You know? And not for me only. See, that's the thing about it. A lot of people are kind of want it all for themselves, you know. They want to gather it all in. And if they kind of had their way about it, when they got to heaven, there wouldn't be none of the rest of us there. But I look around, and I've been with you folks a long time. I think, Lord, I really don't want to go to heaven without these folks here with me. I want to take every one of them. That's the way I feel about it, and I can't help it. Because I think and I feel like that God has got a love in His life and in His heart for every last one of us. We sang that song today that had in it the last term or last phrase of it was, "Lord, let me hold Your hand." Remember that? And the thought come to my mind concerning my children when they were small. And I'll tell you this story concerning Randy. One time we were walking a trail down in Hot Springs, and he was, you know, about, what, 4 or 5, man? Was that how old he was? Anyway, you know, he was small. I mean, he was getting around good, don't get me wrong, but we was walking this trail, and this little critter started wiggling his way across that trail. And he hollered, "Dad, worm!" He reached for the worm. Well, I looked over his shoulder and seen the worm. I reached and caught him. The only thing I could catch him by was his collar. That's all I got was his collar. I stood him back up. I said, "Son, that may look like a worm, but it was a copperhead. A copperhead about this long. Just a small copperhead." And I thought to myself, Lord, I appreciate the fact that, you know, I was watching after my son, but I think that there's lots of times that God looks over our shoulder, and the only thing He can catch us by is our shirt collars at times. You know, just He reaches and gets us by the shirt collars. Whoa, Brother Wayne, that's not exactly what you think it is. Hold up here, you know. I thought Sister June put it pretty nicely today, said, "I'm really glad looking back on it in my lifetime that God didn't answer my prayers when I was 25 like what I was asking for." She said, if He had answered my prayers back then, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. Hallelujah. But she said, "I'm here today because God didn't answer my prayers like I wanted Him to. Thank God." Woo! That's the way we ought to all look at it. God is interested in our welfare. He is the best father we could have. You know, my dad was a pretty stern fellow. But as I grew up and I look back on my life, I really think my father, he made this statement about me one time. A guy gave me this compliment. I was with him. He said, "Mr. McGowan," he said, "your son is really well-mannered." Said he's just, seems like he's doing, just going to be a real nice young man. Of course, my dad looked at him. He kind of put his hands across my shoulders. He said, well, he said, I've just done the best I could with the material that I had to work with. You know? And I think in my lifetime, and in my case, it's probably what God has had to say about me a few times through the years. Well, I've just done the best I could with what I had to work with, you know? But aren't you glad that God's still working with us? That's the thing about it. God's still working with us. He's still helping us. I'm sorry, folks. I can't help but get excited about this, because when you look at the great plan of God, how many thousands of people that he's going to save, having the bride of Christ, have on the new earth. And here we are. We're part of it. Hallelujah. Thank God. Whew. We've been studying in Sunday school concerning the book of Hebrews, talking about Jesus and why that he come to the earth, talking about the Old Testament, how that it was a picture and a shadow, the things of, you know, of heaven. You know, if you took a flashlight and you stood at a certain place and you shined it on that microphone in the dark, especially, that microphone's going to cast a shadow. You look at that shadow, you say, well, that's a microphone. Well, how do you know? I can see the shadow of it. That's the shadow of a microphone. That's what God done, is he shined a light on heaven, and it put a shadow on the earth. And that shadow was a type and a picture. We look at the Old Testament, we see the tabernacle in the wilderness, we see the new temple that Solomon built. Those were pictures and shadows of the real thing. My Lord, that tabernacle that Solomon built, it was gorgeous. It was beautiful. Had gold all over the place. Had great rubies and had great stones that were priceless. But it was just a shadow of the real thing. My Lord Jesus come to this world. Hallelujah. That on that tabernacle, blood was shed and sprinkled all over all those things in order to show us the real thing. When Jesus come to this world and he died on the cross of Calvary, he shed his blood, and his blood had been sprinkled. When he went back to heaven, he sat down by the Heavenly Father. Hallelujah, we will never, ever have to have another priest. He is our high priest. Hallelujah, he's talking to the Heavenly Father. Hallelujah, it is no longer a shadow, but we're in the real thing tonight. Hallelujah, thank God, hallelujah. Woo, my Lord. Hallelujah, we're in the real thing. You've ever watched TV? Coca-Cola's been saying for hundreds of years, it seems like to me. You know, back to nearly as far as I can remember. We've got the real thing. They ain't even coming close. They're not even coming close. My Lord, people out here in the world, you know what they're really looking for? You know what they're really looking for? They drink Southern Comfort, all these other drinks and everything. You know what they're really, really longing for? Think about it a moment. What they're really looking for is the real thing. Hallelujah. That they're getting hold of out there is just fake. Brother Daniel, am I right or wrong? It's counterfeit. It's even a bad shadow of things to come. My Lord. But tonight, folks, we're in the real thing. Hallelujah. We may not understand it. We may not even have a clear picture in our minds of it. But we're in the real thing tonight. Hallelujah. If God touched your life sometime or other, and you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are a child of God. You are. may go out and do all kinds of things, but God has still got a hold of your collar. I'm telling you tonight, God's still got a hold of your collar. Amen. He's trying to deal with us and bring us to a place where that we can be just like His Son. That's what He has in mind. To produce in us the same mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Let your minds be renewed day by day. Hallelujah. Why does He want to do that? Because He wants us to be like Christ. Like Christ. Oh, thank God. I'm looking forward to becoming like Him, aren't you? Amen. Whew. My mind's going about 900 miles an hour and my tongue can't keep up with it. I'm sorry. I thought here a while ago when Sister Cindy was singing those songs, my heart goes out to our piano players, our musicians. Didn't our band sound good tonight? My Lord. Why don't you folks get behind them and let them know that you thought they were doing a good job? Thanks to all you wonderful horn players, Brother Mike Smith, for directing like he did. Oh, thank God. I appreciate them. And I know everybody looks at me and says, well, you're one of them. That's the reason you feel the way you do. That's right. I do. And I am. But I'm glad to be one. But not only that, I'm also one of you. I'm one of you. I'm just like you. You know, I come to church. I don't always feel like jumping up, down, yelling and hollering. Really don't, you know. But I tell you what, when you get to thinking about God and what He's done for us, you know, we're not out in the world. We're not lost tonight. And I can still remember when I was. I can remember going to the altar and crying out to God, say, God, would you save me? Would you forgive me of my past sins? And then they started talking to me about the Holy Ghost. And let me finish that up before I get away from it. God did touch my life. He saved me from my past sins. Aren't you glad that you went through that? Aren't you glad that you had that experience in your life? Hallelujah! We ought to be glad. That's what I think. I think we ought to be glad. Woo! I'm sorry, folks. This is just too exciting to just sit around and do nothing. And if I happen to step on your toes, please just slide them a little further back in your shoes, because I'm not going to stop stepping. But we're children of God, and we know we are. We know we are. And then they started talking to me about the Holy Ghost. And I started asking the Lord to fill me with the Holy Ghost. I said, Lord, I need it in my life. I didn't really realize how bad that I needed it. You know, if I had realized how bad I needed it, I'd have probably got it a lot sooner than I did. But I didn't realize how bad I did. I just knew I needed it. You know? But the Holy Ghost, I finally received the Holy Ghost in my life with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I thought that I had sought the Lord. I thought that I had, I thought I'd put forth a lot of effort in trying to get the Holy Ghost. The night I got it, you know what the first statement I made was? If I had known it would have been this easy, I'd have got it a long time ago. You know, but if you can think with me just for a moment or two here, you know, it's hard to believe that somebody would walk up to you and have $1 million in cash money and say, here, I'm going to give this to you. I mean, you've never seen him before. You know, you don't know exactly where he comes from. Don't know where he's going. But he's walked up to you and said, here, I want to give you this $1 million. Now, I know the first thought in everybody's mind, well, I'd take that in a heartbeat. I wouldn't turn that down for nothing. Consider this. He's a stranger to you. You don't know who he is. You don't know if that money's real or not. You don't know if it's been stolen or not. Are you sure that you would take it that quick? It's hard. You know, especially with us older people, it's hard for us to think in terms of, why would somebody walk up and try to give me $1 million? You know? That's the first thing that's going to pop in your mind. This guy is a stranger. I don't know if this money's been stolen, swiped from somebody, or he just found it somewhere in a ditch, and he's trying to get rid of it so that he won't be on the firing line. And what if it's drug money on top of that? See, us older guys, we think along these lines now. Younger people don't really think along this line so much. But after tonight, they probably will start doing that. But listen to me a second. The Holy Ghost is the free gift. Remember what Brother Smith's been telling us here in the last few weeks? The Holy Ghost is the free gift of heaven. Hallelujah. Thank God. You can't pay for it. And besides that, even if you offered, it'd be an insult. It's the free gift. And it's worth a whole lot more than $1 million. I wished I could emphasize that even more than what I am. But maybe you get my drift. But it's a free gift. All you got to do is accept it. Now that's where the kicker comes in, right? That's where the kicker comes in, because now look here, Lord. I want this free gift, but what have I got to pay you to get it? What have I got to do to get it? What have I got to do to get it? What have I got to do? Well, that's the first thing that's wrong. It's all I and no him. But wouldn't you like to have this free gift working in your life to such a degree that you could qualify and become like Christ? Well, in order to become like Christ, you've got to have this free gift. Amen. All you got to do is accept it. That's the strange thing about it. All you got to do is accept it. I'll take it, Lord. I don't care how you give it to me. All I want to do is get it. All I want to do is take it into my life. Don't you realize that God, being the foundation and who he is, only gives us good things? That's all he does. He just gives us good things. My Lord, what a God. What a God. I like that phrase. Brother Smith coined it, as far as I'm concerned. I'm sure probably other people have used it, but I don't see anything wrong with it. What a God we're serving tonight, folks. Hallelujah. My Lord. Woo! I don't act this way all the time. Sometimes I even get worse. But look, we're serving one of the greatest beings in existence. He created this whole universe, the world, the earth, us. And yet, here we are tonight, in one of the greatest things that he has in the world. I want to say thanks be unto God for the opportunity he's given to me to be a part, just to be a part of what he has in the earth is such a blessing. It's such a blessing. It's such a blessing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God, for allowing me to be here, to feel what I'm feeling. Half of what I'm feeling, don't you know that it'd make you act just about half as bad as me? But I want you to know that I appreciate God. I really appreciate what he's done in my life. And, you know, I know some people are looking at the sun, you know, as far as their lives is concerned, and the sun is just barely coming up, you know, headed for the sky. Some of the rest of us, you know, has been here for a long time. We're looking at the sun, and it's settling way down in the west. But, you know, that's the sun of life, and that's the way it is in life. Then our spiritual lives, our sun is shining bright. Hallelujah, Brother Wanger, it's bright on our lives tonight. Hallelujah, we're seeing greater things now than we've ever seen in our lives. Hallelujah. If my life sun sets in the west, and I'm not here next week and just realize this, I'll be back. Amen. I'll be back. Look, we're working on something. We're trying to reestablish the Latter Rain Church. I'm calling it that, and I don't know if that's a good terminology or not, but we're working on the church for the Gentile people. And it's coming. Whether you want to accept it or whether you want to believe it or not, I'm seeing it through the eye of faith. I believe it's happening. It's happening. It's happening. The Word of God said it's going to take place, and it's going to happen. Whether you like it or whether you don't, it's still going to happen. And I'm going to be there to see it. Hallelujah. There's a resurrection of the just, and I'm going to be among them. I done made up my mind I'm going to be in among them. Brother Weininger, we can see the Latter Rain Church or this house for the Gentiles. Hallelujah. It's going to be great. What we're seeing here tonight, folks, if you compared it to what God's got in store for us, it'd be like a drop of water into a lake. I bet y'all thought I was going to say in a bucket of water, didn't you? It's not going to be that. We're sitting here wondering what's going to happen next. What's going to take place? Who's going to do what? I sure hope they stand up and testify, because I don't want to. Folks, it behooves us to get something in our souls and our lives to such a degree that we're anxious to get up and say, Lord, I want to thank you. Before everybody, hallelujah. I'm excited about this. My wife and I think have attended more weddings this one year than we've, I know it's more than any other year that we've lived. We had the experience of sitting at a wedding through the rain, in the rain. A young lady got married and it was raining. We sat in the rain while she gave her vows, while her husband gave his vows. Sat in the rain. Then we drove over 1,000 miles to attend another wedding. Then we've had a granddaughter that got married here just recently. My Lord. You think, why, that's just more weddings than you need to have, you know, and I agree. I really do, but we did go and we did see them. We sat in the rain. But dear hearts, Jesus is building a church to expose what God has for his people. It's going to be made manifest, alive, here among the Gentile world. Hallelujah. It's hard for us to imagine that. If you walked into heaven, you would see the same things there. That's what he's going to have here on this earth, in the house among the Gentile people. It's going to be a full manifestation of what God wants from his people. It's going to be a full manifestation of how God does it. What he's asking for. And those people that respond to it, they're going to get into it and be involved in it, and they'll make the bride of Christ. Don't you want to be there? Hallelujah. I want to be there. Even though my life, son, may be settling toward the west, my spiritual son is still high in the sky. Hallelujah. Thank God. Woo! Hallelujah. I want to get behind these folks that gets up and works. Brother Painter got up here today and worked for us. And I appreciate it. Talking to us and working with us, trying to help us. I appreciate that. And I appreciate the fact that I got to sit here and be a part of it. You know? Now, I can't say that for you, but I am appreciative of the fact that y'all were here too. But I'm glad that I was here to be a part of it, and I want to continue to be a part of what God's doing in here. I'd like to find out how He wants it, and I'd like to help Him get it done, wouldn't you? I want to help Him get it done. I found out a long time ago that it ain't my way. It's not my way. Did you know that Jesus learned that same lesson in life? It wasn't His way. He never said one time that I'm doing my will. Not one time. Every time that He spoke about His Heavenly Father, He said, I'm here to do the will of my Father. I'm here to do the will of Him that sent me. That's all we've got to do, do the will of Him that's dealing with our hearts and lives, and we'll get closer to Him every day. My Lord, when Jesus started with me, my clay was in a mess. And I don't, somebody, I overheard it behind me, I think all of us were. You know, I was just trying to be nice. All of us. Every one of us, we were in a mess. If you'd have met us out in the world, there ain't no telling what you'd run into. Brother Al's got to give me some of his testimony about being in the world. He was not a nice guy, you know. And it would have probably been kind of rough, right, Brother Al? And if I'd have been there, I might have helped him. But look, we're not in the world tonight because God touched our life. God touched their lives. And I know there's thousands of people out here that God has touched their lives, but He'd give us an extra special touch. Over getting saved and over getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God give us a special touch. Open our eyes to see that He has a body working in the earth called the body of Christ. That is a special touch, folks. All you have to do, I think Brother Smith gave us the challenge the other night. If you don't believe what I'm telling you, go out to these churches out here. Go see. Go see. And it just so happened when he said that was on Sunday night, I think he said that. The previous Friday night, my wife and I went to a church fellowship meeting. Folks, listen to me. There's people sitting out there in those churches that are starving to death. Absolutely starving to death. And there's some of them I knew. I knew some of the people there. I knew back years ago when they felt the Holy Ghost. And I knew in my heart that if they could feel it again today, like what we're feeling it here tonight, oh, God, they would be jumping up and down with joy. They'd be thanking God for just another touch. Amen. They would just be ecstatic. But they're not able to feel it. And the reason they're not able to feel it, folks, is it's not there anymore. God has withdrawn His Spirit from them to a large degree. I can remember times back when I was a young boy. Teenager, in fact, Ann and I was dating something, going to church, and her uncle was a man that loved the Spirit of God. I seen him shout, run back and forth across the church in the front of the benches, thanking God for the fact that He saved his life and touched his life. He touched his life and saved him from sin, filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He was ecstatic with just that much revelation in his life. I thought here, as we were there, that Friday night, I thought, Lord, I wish that there was a way that we could put this in such a way that we could present it to them and they could again feel some of that same ecstatic feeling that they had. My Lord, folks, we have got something here that this world is starving to death for. Now, I'm not talking about the world like the world out here where the honky-tonkers are at. I'm talking about the church world where people are actually going to church trying to find God in their lives, and they're not able to find it because they can't. There's nobody out there that has it. But we're in church here tonight, and there's some people in here that's got it. Hallelujah. There's folks in here that's got it. I wouldn't be surprised to tell you tonight that I got some of it at least. I'm glad for it too. I really am. I appreciate it. Oh, thank God. I'm supposed to carry us to prayer, and I ain't sure that I've done a good job of that. But folks, when we stand to pray, can I put a little different hitch in it? And I say, or suggest, that when you stand to pray, that you would say, God, I thank you first of all. First of all, God, I want to thank you for the vision that you gave me, for the fact that you brought me to the body of Christ, that you brought me among your people. Can we just say thank you, Lord, for that? Just that part. Much less all the truths and the gold of the Word of God that we've received over the last few years. My Lord. Oh, God, I won't even break that up right now. All right, I was supposed to take us to prayer. And I know we've got a lot of requests. Brother Jerry York is still in the hospital. Who else do we have that we need? Brother Phil and Sister Chelsea, yes. And they're in, I was trying to think of the baby's name. Bridget. All right. Bridget. Anybody else got a spoken request? Pray for Brother Smith. Pardon me? BJ. BJ, I'm sorry, not BJ. BJ. All right. And Brother and Sister Crow, yes. I got word, too, to the effect that our sister that comes and normally sits around where Sister Tally does was sick, yes. So we need to remember them in prayer. That's the reason they weren't in church here. Anyone else? Who? Sister Hart, yes. All right. All right. Remember to pray for Sister June tomorrow at noon. Bailey, report on hers to the effect that that cancer is back, and they're not sure exactly the extent of it at this point, but Sister Smith said that she would probably get a report sometime this week. All right. I hope that I've said something that would inspire you to get to your feet tonight and thank God for where we're at. Let's all stand and ask God to overshadow this service, touch these needs among us. Remember my request. Everybody thank God for where you're at tonight among God's people. Lord, we appreciate you. Thank you for the fact that you brought us among your people. ask you, Lord, to touch each one of these needs among our lives. Oh, kia sala la mama, kudani. Oh, kia la la mama, shiatoe, kamarushiai. Uya yanano, kala la mama, yestanodi, koshadi, kala la umbo. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we ask you, Lord, to touch each of these needs among us here tonight. Hallelujah. Touch brother and sister Neely, Lord. Overshadow your ministry. Keep your hand on them, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we appreciate you dealing with our hearts and lives. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
So, bear with me. I will hopefully find the right key. I cannot tell you where I'm going to start. But Brother Wayne was talking about the goodness of Jesus. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, and that song charged in me. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and what He's done for me, what happens? My soul cries out, hallelujah! And I just sit over there and I couldn't stand it. I'm going to respond to this, you know? I feel like it just... Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
See? You can't do this anywhere. But because they're hungry for something. We're blessed. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and what He has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and what He has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah! Woo! Praise God for saving me. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and what He has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and what He has done for me, my soul cries out, goodness of Jesus and what He has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and what He has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah.
when I think of the goodness of Jesus and what He has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Of Jesus and what He has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. Think of the goodness of Jesus and what He has done for me.
Oh,
look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. I'm gonna praise His name. Each day just the same. I'm gonna praise Him. Look what the Lord. Jesus is here right now. Reach out and touch him. Jesus is here right now to help you receive. Jesus is standing there, ready your heart to cheer. Jesus is ready your heart
I'll just give you a little bit of what I've been going through lately. As most of y'all know, I left in 2002 and went to Conway, and I made a mistake by getting married again. 12 years later, in January, he told me he wanted to end, so in June, I moved in with my best friend in Conway, and someone told me that I needed to be in Little Rock with my daughter and my son. I was like, well, you know, I spend time with her, and they said, no, you belong in Little Rock. You need to go back to Little Rock. That's where your children are. That's where you belong. So I fought it, and I fought it, and I fought it, and I knew God was dealing with me inside. I was raised in church. I knew better than to walk away from God. Well, in February, I rededicated my life to God with the help of a friend. And instantly, I knew I was a different person. They told me, I said, I don't know how to pray. And they said, when you pray, you talk to him like you talk to anybody else. So I got to where I'd pray every day. I'd have a struggle with something and I'd pray about it. Well, then it got to where I didn't want to go to church. I would pray, but I couldn't find a church. So I found a church in Conway, a small Baptist church that, you know, I felt like was home. But it still didn't feel right. So I went for a while, and things happened where I could move to Little Rock. And recently, Natalie and I have moved in together, and we live together, which has been a blessing. It's been something we both have wanted for years. And someone said that God puts you in uncomfortable places. Well, to be honest, to live in the mobile home where Natalie and DJ were raised is uncomfortable for me. But I am there for a reason. And I feel I'm... I want to be a light for my daughter and my son. And it breaks my heart to know that my son doesn't want to come to church. He loves God. He knows who he is. And he knows where he belongs. But he's having a struggle. And one day he gets in the car and we're talking. And this song came on, Caleb, called Do Something. And I turned it up and he broke into tears and he started crying. And I had never before prayed for anybody like I prayed for him that day. And I knew right then that it was meant for me to be where I am. So when Brother McGowan got up and said that y'all need to get up and be thankful for what you have and where God has brought you, I got to thinking, God has brought me through a lot since January. Coming from the sad, and now they can tell you what kind of person I was. I was angry and I was sad and I was hurt and bitter. And one day she looked at me and she said, Mom, get out. She said, you need to get away from him. And I started crying. When your 15-year-old daughter, she was 15 at the time, looks at you and says, Mom, you need to get out. You know that God was telling her, hey, you know, your mom's hurt. Your mom's not where she needs to be. So for me to be here and to be with my children and to be where I know I'm loved has been quite a journey for me. I have come a long way from turning my back on God for 12 years. Thinking I could do it on my own. Well, God will get you. He'll tell you no. Someone was telling me about the story of the potter's in the potter's hand and being the clay. And I know I've fallen and gotten back up and I fall down again. And like Brother McGowan said, God grabs you by the collar and says, nope, get back up. Don't touch that. Get back up. That's been me since January. I have fallen down and God's pulled me right back up. And for all you young people, listen to what God puts in your heart. I know it's hard being a young person and being out in the world. I was out there. I was in high school when we went to non-denominational and being called Holy Roller and made fun of. And it's not meant to torment you. It's part of who you are because you have that special bond with God. You have that special walk that no one else understands. And going from Baptist to non-denominational when you're 13, 14 years old is quite a change. But you learn that you have to cover up. You have to use your body as a temple for God. So for you to cover up your body and for you to show modesty, I find it highly respective. I try, even though I don't wear dresses all the time, I try to be a modest person. I try to be a godly person. And I look at myself as a baby in the Lord since February. But I feel I have grown so much, and I thirst for the Word of God, and I want to hear more about the Word of God. And I pray a lot. I pray for a lot of things that I'm going through, and I have an unspoken that I really, you know, it's just something I need to deal with. But being, I want to be the mother that my children can look up and say, hey, I remember my mom praying for me. I remember my mom going to church. In fact, it was almost 5 o'clock and Ellie texted me, where are you? But to see my daughter's eyes light up when I walk in the door at church, I wouldn't trade it for anything out there. And someone asked me, if someone looks at you, what do they see? Do they see God or do they see the world? And I hope that people see that I'm a godly person and that I want to do what's right for Him. I want to be able to tell people about Him. Before I moved down here, a young man was telling me about his problems, and I said, well, do you pray? Well, sometimes. I said, well, all you have to do is talk to God like you're talking to me. And I got goosebumps all over me. I had never witnessed to anybody like that. And that's all I said to him was, just pray like you're talking to me. And I hope that by me telling a little bit of my story, that others will feel that they can grow in God and they can learn to depend on Him. Because when things don't go your way, like they will, you can't depend on the world to help you. You have to depend on God to help you.
I wouldn't take anything from my journey. I was a Baptist Sunday school teacher, living, trying to do right. But I wouldn't take anything for the rocks that have hit my feet, for the roads that have been rough. To see my children here tonight, you have no idea how blessed I am. Today, my daughter called Charlotte, and she said something that tore my heart, and she said, back in the few months ago, I went to Helping Hands, which is a thrift store there in Bentonville, and I found books that someone had put together of the war, 12 of them, and I bought them as a birthday present for my son-in-law, who is Army retired, Sam. And Bill was here, and he has been in Iraq, I think it's 4 times now. And so Sam said, Bill, I want to show you what June gave me. And he started looking at them, and he looked at it, 3 of them, and he said, I can't look at any more. He said, this is too real. Our soldier boys, folks, don't know what they're doing over there. They only know that they are over there. So every time you pray, let's pray for the soldiers that are over there. June said today, said that we're in trouble, and we are. We thought that we were in trouble when World War II came along, and we were. But I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know that even the soldiers over there, Bill is now in his early 50s, I think, Army retired, but still working for the government. Sam is 60. Back is crippled. He's working for the government. He's in the army now. Has been for many, many years. We are so fortunate to be sitting here because somebody cares enough to carry the load for us. And I'm glad for my children that aren't in the army. But folks, we don't know what we're facing. But we do know who God is. And that song, He is here right now. And God is here right now for us. I appreciate the Lord, and I certainly appreciate my children. I sat today, and there was 10 of us at a table. And I thought how blessed I am that primarily that I met the Christ a long time ago. But so pray, if you find someone and they're in a church and they're not being fed, and that brother a while ago, he said it right. My husband, when we left Huntsville and we moved back into Springdale, he said there has to be a church. I think he went to 17 churches. I quit. I would take those tapes and I would just turn everything off on Sunday morning, and I would sit there and I felt like I was close to God. So anyone that's getting the tapes, be glad they're getting them, because there is strength in the Word of God. And if we'll just reach out and touch Him, we will find that strength. And that may be all that you're getting. For a long time, that's all I was getting. The church was on down the street. But I couldn't go to that church. That was a church that we grew up in. And I say we because my children, Nathan and Michelle and Lainey, when we came out of the Baptist church, we came out clean, but we came out ignorant. And God stayed with us. And He helped us. And then we were privileged. We met Brother Linegar, and we met the brothers, and we met the sisters. One of the neatest things that ever, I know you all have your own stories, but let me tell you one little one. As my husband, he says, uh-oh, you know. But I was in a meeting in Houston, Texas, and a great outpouring. But it was quiet. And this little old lady, sweet young woman, stood up just like Sister Inez did. She stood up, and her feet started turning around. And the Holy Ghost came down. And so I have an inquiring mind, and I stood there, and I was watching. And I saw Brother Herman Youngblood. I mean, he went back. And I said to God, I said, if you're real, if this is real, let him come up like he went down. He did. He came up. He never held on anything. He came up. His feet was firm, and that made a believer out of me. You never know what the small things are that God will give you to make a believer out of you. So be glad when you see somebody and rejoice with them, because you can get something for your own soul. And you never know the person that you're going to touch. My kids got to go to the campground. And the things that we learned on the campground were marvelous things. And the things that we have learned in the church, I'm so grateful that God has led me this way. And we plan to be here to stay. We live two blocks from here. And I guess every day we say thank you, Lord, that He has led us here.
To stand up and say thank you, Lord, for being here. I'm 78 years old and so glad to be anywhere. But I, As I stood up here some year ago when we had this minister's meeting, I figure through all of my life there's a Latter-day Church, and God is in the end times going to pour out His Spirit upon. It'll be more than Azusa Street. It'll be more than we can imagine. And I want to be a part of that. So we're here. I'm strong. I'll work in this church, and God will be the glue that'll work together with June and I. And I'm just so proud to be here. And I'll be talking to you, each one, and telling you a little bit about my background and how God has blessed me from a small child that stuttered and couldn't even talk to walking with people of renown, and I've got the pleasure of speaking with them and learning from them. So God, just praise the Lord every day.
There's going to be a lot of people, a lot of strange people coming here probably out of the streets. It's going to get tough out there. There's a lot of glitter and glam out there, but it's not going to satisfy their soul. They're going to get hungry for the Lord, and they're going to seek Him out. And God's people are in the land, and we're going to be here now, and then we're going to pass on. So they better jump in. God bless you.
God, I feel like it's been a good day. I feel like there's been a little bit for everybody. And that's the way family is. There's a little something for everybody. And I feel privileged to have worshiped with you today. And we miss those that are gone, but I'm sure glad that y'all are here. I've enjoyed today. I have enjoyed today. I couldn't help but think a little bit about, you know, we all feel deficient, you know, unworthy. And I just couldn't help but think about Apostle Peter, you know, Peter, he forsook everything. You know, he laid down his fishing nets. He followed the Lord. And when push came to shove, he told the Lord, "I'll follow you to the end." And then the Lord just came right back to him and said, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times before this night's over." You know, that had to just deflate his... I just had to suck the inspiration right out of the air. Peter pulled out his sword, cut a guy's ear off. No doubt, there were times, no doubt in my mind, that Peter sat down and held his head in his hands and said, "What have I done? I have messed everything up. I have ruined it." You know, and just probably was so down on himself, so disappointed. Even when he denied the Lord, denied that he knew the Lord, he just couldn't escape that guilt and shame that followed him. And then when the Lord was crucified, and and there wasn't a thing they could do to stop him. The man that they loved and gave up everything for was hung on a cross. They couldn't even have another word with him. They couldn't sit down with him and eat again. They couldn't hear him speak one more time. They couldn't ask him any more questions. They couldn't, have their feet washed or share, break bread with them. All the good things, all the great memories, all the wonderful experiences that they had had walking with the Lord for 3.5 years were over. And I'm sure that, you know, the Bible says that the men were walking down the road and the Lord come up beside them and they were so distraught in their sorrow that they didn't even know who he was. They didn't even recognize him. Don't you know that I've often wondered, how in the world could somebody be so drunk that everybody out, you know, around them thought that they were drunk about the ninth, it's about the ninth hour of the day, right? How could they get in such a state of affairs that everybody thought they were drunk? But you know, when they lost everything, when they lost the Lord, their hero, their Superman, they saw him take the loaves and the fishes, break them, and feed 5,000 people. In one setting, they saw him touch a man's eyes and put a little spittle and mud on a man's eyes and heal him right there. They saw, you know, they saw all kinds of miracles. They saw him walking on the water in the midst of high waves and a high wind. They had such great confidence in this man, and now he's gone. But he told them, he said, whatever you do, do this. If you don't do anything else, you know, he could have said, make sure you gather in the upper room. Tarry together. That's good for us today. That's good for us today. No matter what happens, no matter what happens, you know, no matter how many of our heroes pass off the scene or how many times we feel our foundation shaken or how many times, you know, we feel like that the things that we worked for and hoped for and dreamed for are gone forever. No matter what happens, we need to make sure that we stay gathering together. Praise God. We need to make sure that we come together in the name of the Lord for one purpose, and that's to worship Him, to honor Him in all things, everything that we do. Because you never know. You just never know. Just like those disciples, when they gathered there that night, they had no idea what was about to happen. They had no understanding of the experience that they were about to have. But all that sorrow and all that misery that they thought was in their heart, my Lord, when the Lord Jesus walked in there, came in with a mighty rushing wind, all that sorrow and all that disappointment, all that frustration just vanished. Praise God. And they got so happy. They got so happy. My God, they felt something in their life that just turned them upside down. Oh, and all that sorrow turned to joy. Hallelujah. Oh, God. And the Bible says that they spake in an unknown tongue. Oh, hallelujah. And the people around them said, these are drunk. But they weren't drunk. They were just overcome with joy. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh! Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah.
Woo! Whatever you do, gather together. Make sure, no matter if you don't do anything else, no matter if you're in the depths of despair, no matter if your life's gone to sorrow and misery, make sure that you gather together with God's people. Because you just don't know. You just don't know what God has in store for you. Praise God. Aren't you glad to be in the house of God today? Hallelujah. 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 Woo! Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah. I pray and trust that we're all going to have a good week. I look forward to us gathering together here Wednesday night. Come in for prayer. If you've, I hope this doesn't embarrass Sister Tally, but if you come in here for prayer and Sister Tally's in here praying in the Spirit, you're going to feel it. You're going to feel it. I admire you, Sister Tally. I do. And many times I've been kneeling and praying and heard Sister Tally off in the Spirit. Whew, my Lord. Thank you. I just want to say, slip my name in there, Sister Tally. When you're praying like that, go ahead and put my name in there. Praise God. Praise God. I'm happy to be in the house of God today. Praise God. Let's all stand and give the Lord praise for this good day. Remember those in need. And trust that we'll have a good week and come out together Wednesday night, 7 o'clock prayer and 7:30 worship service. Praise God. Lord Jesus, we love you. We love you. We love you. Oh, God, how we love you. Oh, Jesus, what a wonder you are in my soul. Oh, God, you can turn my sorrow to joy. Oh, God, you can make my unworthiness worthy. Oh, God, you can make me from unclean to clean. Jesus, oh, Jesus, Jesus, you can turn me from a broken vessel to whole. Oh, God, you, Lord, are my hope, my strength, my refuge. Praise God. Be with us, Lord, this week. Keep all those safe that are traveling. Watch over them and keep those in your care that are sick and afflicted. Jesus, keep us until we meet again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Good night, everybody. Hallelujah.